You know what? I'll give you the first 9 numbers. If you can give me the last one. I think it was yours because you were...
Thank you very much.
Happy day.
All right. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Intercessory prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You know, we all know what supplications are, I guess. Just requests or petitions. When you're asking God for something, and prayers are just generally talking to God, you know, just asking God and talking with God. Intercessions is what we want to key in on, and that's kind of like placing yourself between two parties. It's kind of like a referee in a boxing match, kind of separating the two fighters, you know, and getting between them. It's kind of like a mediator. Sometimes you see a mediator gets between two parties to help them come together and reconcile a difference. It's also to plead on someone else's behalf, to plead for somebody. And then the verse goes on and says, in giving thanks be made for all men. You know, I kept reading on, and the next verse says, in verse 2, it says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, intercessory prayer isn't just for the other person. It's for us too. It helps us to lead a godly life. It helps us to be honest before God when we can pray for somebody else. It will change our lives if we start praying for someone else that's in need. Verse 3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Hey, that should be enough for us right there. If it's good for God and He likes to see that in our life, we ought to practice it. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator, one intercessor between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So, intercessory prayer. It really can change our life. But intercessory prayer is a great privilege, and it's a power that's given to us on the behalf of others. And God honors intercessory prayer. It's an honor to move the heart of Almighty God. Now, many of you probably, just like me at one time or another, said, I can change God's mind. Does God change His mind? Well, look, let me say it this way. God's character never changes. But I know people have gotten in between two parties, between an angry God and a rebellious Israel, and God changed His mind. So you can get God's desire to change from one thing to another. Now, God may have known He was going to do it. God may have known He was going to change His mind, but He was looking for someone to stand in the gap for someone else. I'm telling you, I learned so much from just reading these verses and learning that this is going to help me. Let alone I get to pray for somebody else. This is going to help me be a better Christian. It's an honor to move the heart of Almighty God. Prayer is the most neglected discipline in the Christian life. And you know it. You know how much power we forfeit every day when we spend those paltry few minutes on our faces before God. And sometimes we won't even bend the knee. We do it on the way to work, holding the wheel of the car. You know, we spend no time in prayer to God. Hey, what's the hymn say? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We spend so little time in prayer. How much more is this thing called intercessory prayer? How much less time is spent praying for others if we spend just a few minutes praying at all? And we need to learn to intercede. Some might only claim a few minutes in their prayer closet every day. Shame on us. Shame on us before God. If that's all the time that we can spend with God, is just a few minutes on our face. How much time then is spent pleading and crying out on the behalf of others? Do you see how much time we really spend in intercessory prayer? Now look, just count how much time you spent in prayer today. Count it up, maybe on one hand or two, whatever you need. If you need your toes too, hey, you might have spent 20 minutes in prayer, did you? And how much time did you spend praying for others?
tell you, this really woke me up. I hope some men leave camp mighty prayer warriors.
Amen.
This is a great message because it's a great theme, intercessory prayer. If we could get a hold of this, I wonder how many lives could be changed. Because God changes His mind. He's looking for someone to pray on the behalf of someone else. I can tell you this, intercessory prayer, this is your first fill-in, is not us praying for what we want to see in the lives of others. Intercessory prayer is not us praying for what we want to see in the lives of others. It's Bible prayers. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. You know, they've just come out of the upper room there and they broke the bread and they've had the last supper there. And then we'll come up to verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren, thy brethren. Now look, I don't know about you, but I might have prayed, Simon, Simon, I'm going to pray that Satan doesn't touch you, that God builds a hedge about you, that you never have to go through any trial. But that's not what Jesus prayed. Jesus said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. So when this came into Peter's life, it's exactly what Peter needed. He said, I'm going to pray that your faith wouldn't fail. It's not always we're supposed to pray for somebody to get out of trouble or nothing ever happened to them. It's that they trust God through the trial. It's that they trust God. We have to learn how to pray Bible intercessory prayers. God, what do you want me to pray for? How do you want to help this person? That's what I had to learn. Because Peter had to learn that he needed a life that was controlled by God in order to be the leader that he was among those apostles. And all he did was fail and fail and fail and stick his foot in his mouth. But Peter just had to learn to get his life controlled by the Spirit of God. And finally he did. And God used him in a great way. That's a Bible prayer. That's a Bible intercessory prayer by Jesus Christ. We could learn from that. It is us praying for the will of God. That's a fill-in I think you have in your book. It is us praying for the will of God to be done in the lives of others. You know, it's amazing when we can start seeing what God can do in someone's life. I mean, you know there's people in your mind and in your heart right now. You're looking for something to happen in their life. Pray for the will of God to be done in their life. Pray for the will of God to be done. Pray for them to get a hold of God's will for their life. That's what we need to pray for. A lot of times we pray for specific things. And God's saying, I don't want you to pray for that. I have a different will. I have something totally different. You know, we can ask God, God, show me how to pray for this person. I think God would love to show us how to pray for some different people in our family. It is us praying for the welfare or the needs of others. It's just as simple as that. People just need prayer. They need us to hold them up before an almighty God. You know, it's to look on the needs of others. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It's just not natural for us to do that, you know. That doesn't come naturally. Especially in prayer. What little time we spend, I'm now going to pray for someone else. I'm going to lift them up before God. It's prayer that cares about people, even though at times they're neck deep in sin. I'm talking about Christians.
Yeah.
Christians who are neck deep in sin. And we can get a judgmental attitude. Well, they're right where they put themselves there. This is what happened to them. Maybe we need to pray for them.
Yeah.
I'm sure glad somebody prayed for me.
Amen.
You know? Why don't we lift them up before God? It's prayer for people even though they're hard-hearted and they're stuck in the world. Hey, maybe this is, you could ask Brother Lot when you get to heaven, how glad he was that Uncle Abraham prayed for him.
Yeah.
Brother Lot would have been fried in Sodom, but somebody stood in the gap, you see? It's prayer that ends up pleading for mercy for those that deserve judgment. You know, I remember before I got saved, And I remember sitting there in my family room down in the lower level of the house. And all the stuff was there to normally do drugs. And I was just sitting there. And I don't even know if I had anything. But I heard the phone ring. It rang about four or five times. And then the answer machine picked it up. And I heard my mother on the other end. "Dan, would you please pick up? Would you please pick up the phone?" I couldn't. I felt so ashamed. I felt so bad for what I was and who I was and the things I was doing. She said, "Dan, please pick up the phone. Please go to church tomorrow."
Amen.
You know what she was doing? When the phone wasn't hooked, when she wasn't calling me, she was praying for me. She was praying for me. I don't know how many years my mother prayed for me. I don't know how many years John Mitchell prayed for me that knocked on my door and told me about Jesus Christ. And I didn't give him the time of day the first time. But the 55th time that he came to my door, he would not stop coming. And he kept telling me about the Lord. Now, I'll bet there was times when he prayed for me. You don't come to somebody's door every Tuesday night and try to offer them the gospel and talk to them unless you're praying for them. You wouldn't care. He just loved me. And he prayed for me. Somebody prayed for you. And then it's prayer that trusts God to do right. Amen. We have to have faith. We just have to believe God. You'd be surprised. You start praying for somebody and you don't have faith in God, those prayers will be some piddly looking prayers, I'll tell you. But you start believing God and trusting that God wants to do something in somebody's life, and those prayers will be prayers of power. And it's prayer that sees God, sees the way God sees. It's more than just the sin and circumstances in people's lives. It sees souls and eternal judgment. You know, we have to see people as they are. They're souls that are going to go to hell. You're going to see Abraham, I believe, in each one of these statements as he intercedes for Lot. The first, why don't we pray for others? If it's a duty and a privilege, and in fact, Paul tells Timothy, he's exhorting him to pray, intercede. He's exhorting him. But why don't we do it? Look at Ezekiel 22:30 right up there. "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." He says, isn't somebody going to stand up and try to keep me from destroying Jerusalem? Because the prophets have gone astray and all the authority has gone down the tubes and they've all turned their back on me. He says, "I sought for a man." God said, "I'm looking for somebody. Will somebody get up and plead for your countrymen? Will somebody get up and plead for your city? Will somebody get up and plead for the souls in Jerusalem?" Couldn't find anybody. That's the way we are. God can't find anybody to pray for somebody else. Why? I think it's because we're self-centered people. We're selfish. You're selfish too. I'm selfish and you're selfish. We want things for us. We won't even take 5 minutes to bend the knee and pray for somebody. Because we're selfish. You know, the flesh hates to pray. You know, when your flesh rolled out of bed this morning, it didn't want to get out of bed. It certainly did not want to pray. It didn't want to close its eyes for any other reason but to go back to sleep, but not to pray to a holy God. Your flesh doesn't want to do that, but that's okay. That's the flesh. That's not going to change. It's always going to be that way. The flesh will never change. It's never going to get an inkling better. So you make it pray. You make it bend the knee. And you cry out to God on behalf of others. The flesh hates to pray, especially for others. You're going to have to crucify it. You're going to have to mortify your flesh. Self says it's a waste. God's not listening to me, or, you know, I don't have anything to say about anybody else. It will scream out, "Don't waste time with this. Go do what you got to do. Go do the soccer game, or go run over here. Go do this. Go to work." It's just not going to want to pray. Self says, forget about it. Well, you have to deny self. That's what the Bible says. Take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be good spiritual exercise if we did. It's just not going to come natural to pray for others. It's not going to be easy. It's something that you're going to have to make a habit in your life. You're going to have to write down the names of people that you want to pray for and circumstances and situations in people's lives. You're going to have to write it down. You're going to have to go through it and pray for people. And make it a good habit. It's something that needs to be learned and practiced, you see. So that it becomes a good habit. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 and in verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Abraham was in the habit of building altars. Everywhere he went, he built an altar, and he cried out to God, and he sacrificed, and he worshipped. We need to get in that same habit. Look at chapter 13 and verse 3. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Verse 18. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. I mean, this guy just builds altars. Wherever he goes, he's ready to sacrifice and cry out to God. And I'm sure he's crying out to God for others. And you know what? It costs you something every time you have to build another altar and sacrifice and worship. It should always cost you something to worship God. Like David said, Shall it cost me nothing to worship God? You know, it should cost us something. Abraham sacrificed, worshiped, prayed to God Almighty. We should take something away from his example. It wasn't a big stretch for Abraham to intercede. He was used to it. He was used to being on his knees. He was used to being before Almighty God. You know, our greatest teacher, though, is the Lord Himself. You know, I challenge you to go find all the prayers that the Lord prayed for Himself. You're going to have a hard time finding them. I mean, I didn't go looking, but just thinking, how many prayers did Jesus pray for Himself? I know one He prayed in the garden. He said, Lord, if it be possible, could You let this cup pass? And then He said, nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done. So even the prayer for Himself was, whatever Your will is, Lord. He was always praying for others. All the time in a mountain, praying all night. Watching them on the sea out there and praying for them while he watched them rowing contrary to the wind. John chapter 17, he prays for his disciples. Then and for the believers that were going to get saved all down through the ages. Just praying for others. That's somebody we need to emulate. Now, Abraham intercedes for Lot. But first, turn to chapter 18. Turn to Genesis chapter 18. Can you just imagine if no one prayed? If no one prayed for Sodom? If no one prayed for any of the righteous that were in Sodom? You know, this is the first and perhaps the most remarkable example of intercessory prayer in the entire Bible. Abraham was no doubt concerned about his nephew Lot and all the people that he had rescued from the war of the kings. Who lived in Sodom. Although Abraham was well aware of the condition of the people there, there was no debate with God about sin. He hoped that they would repent and turn to the Lord. And are not all things possible with God? Have you ever given up on somebody? You've just given up on them? God didn't. God didn't give up on them. I'm glad He didn't give up on me. Amen? I'm glad somebody kept praying for me. All things are possible with God. We have hope in a great God. So we read in verse 16, and the men rose up from thence. These are the two angels, and we believe the Lord there was with them. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken. Verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. If not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. You know, in verses 16 through 19, the Lord makes a statement. Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Not just because Abel was such a faithful man. Because he was always sacrificing and worshiping God. And God, him and God, they had a relationship, you see. And God says, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? He says, I know him. I know that he will command his children. I believe he knew that Abraham was going to intercede. Oh, that God would find us faithful like that. Oh, that God would know us. He'd say, for I know, and put your name there. I know that he'll do the right thing. I know that he'll intercede. I know that he'll get on his face before me and plead for these people's souls. I also believe the Lord wanted his people to know through Abraham what the cost of sin was. Judgment and death. Before the flood and after the flood, men were exceedingly sinful. This sin was very grievous, the Bible tells us. I wonder what God has entrusted you to pray for, or some situation that God's given to you to pray for. He wants Abraham to pray for Lot and pray for Sodom. But in verse 20 he says, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. You know, you just imagine how our sin reaches up before the Lord. See, right now you got on your mind Sodom. And it was grievous. There was some wicked stuff going on there in Sodom. You've read your Bible. What about our sin? Before I get on to the wicked sin of Sodom, what about our sin? You don't think our sin cries up before a holy God? And we're saved here. I guess where most of us are saved. All of us may be saved. Hey, Jack, pay attention. Jack. Eyes up here. Alright? Pay attention. Hey, our sin cries before a holy God. Well, this sin was coming up before God's face, and it was particularly grievous to God. It was exceedingly sinful. And God was going to go down and see, and He was going to look on it. And you know, He judges of pure eyes. The holiness of God to look on this kind of sin. Ezekiel 18:23 says, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live. God wanted him to turn around. That's why he was going to use Abraham to plead. You know what? We need to remember that God is holy. He's a holy God. I think we need to fear him more than we do. And I think sometimes that grace has softened our idea of sin. Good thing we don't live under the law, huh? Some of us, our mothers and fathers, would have stoned us because we were drunkards. Gluttonous. We should have been stoned.
Yep. Amen.
Praise God for grace.
Yep.
But God forbid, just because there's grace, we don't go around and sin. But grace has softened our idea of sin. Today there's Sodomite marriage. Yep. Hey, they were in Sodom and they were doing that wicked stuff, but they wouldn't have gone and asked somebody to marry them. Today they ask them to marry them. Sodomites wanting to get married.
Yeah.
Aggressive. Very aggressive sinful behavior that happened there in chapter 19. How aggressive are the Sodomites today? Let them get a hold of your children. Because they can't have their own, so they're looking for some. Abortion holocaust that's out there. In America alone, over 50 million children since 1972. Huh? America. With its Bible belt. God help us. Public nudity is now okay in Munich. Did you know that? They have public nudity zones. It's a zone. So you can walk around the zone. There's a little zone there. You can take your clothes off and stand there. Where are we at?
You don't think that's sin? It's crying before a holy God?
Amen.
I know we laugh. We wonder, what in the world's going on? We ought to be praying.
Amen.
We ought to be praying. Anything goes, man. Darker the better. The darker the better. Verse 22. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Staying behind to intercede. When you hear these things, which should really break our heart. How far away this world has gotten from God. Can't we pluck some brands out of the fire before He comes back? Didn't somebody come and tell us about Jesus? How close were we to hell, huh? Amen. We must learn to see the opportunity and the importance of intercessory prayer. Here's a statement. I had to ask my wife, does this sound right to you? It's never too late until it's too late. It's really never too late to pray for somebody until it's too late. I mean, when somebody's dead, you don't pray for the dead. I guess some people do. I don't know why, but it's over. But it's never too late until it's too late. So let's see it as never too late to pray for somebody. What I'm saying is don't give up on a situation. God doesn't. We're sitting here tonight because God didn't give up on us. When you're fully aware of a situation, take time to be with God. Intercede. There's a desperate need. A desperate need. And desperate need means desperate prayer. The world can't pray for itself. We can. We can pray for God to open some doors of opportunity and for us to get a bigger and greater burden for the lost that are all around us. I don't care whether they're Sodomites or what they're doing. They need to be saved. Jesus Christ died for them on the cross. Don't think your sin is any less. It took the same amount of grace to save you as it will anybody else. And then there's the intercession. In verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? That it be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all this place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry. And I will speak, peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I've taken it upon me to speak unto the Lord. Hey, I don't know that I'd go this far right off the bat. I mean, I think I'd stick with the 50 and that'd be about it. And many of us would. But Abraham just keeps pushing, pushing, and pushing. You know why? He knows God. He speaks to God. He talks to God. He communes with Him. I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. And I will speak yet what, but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way. And as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Intercessory prayer. We see that Abraham draws near to God when he hears what's going to happen, when he knows what's going to come. He draws near to God and he's moved to action. So that's what should happen when we see these circumstances and needs and souls that are in danger. We should be moved to action. We should be mighty intercessors. We need to learn this. We need to learn this. Can you imagine what 50 men could do who are interceding on behalf of people in their families and their brothers and sisters and people in their estates and friends that are away from God? Can you imagine what God could do? How much God wants to do if we would just intercede? Abraham draws near to God. Now you know, in order to draw near to God, we have to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts.
That's got to happen before we're ever going to get close to God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Abraham drew near because he was clean. And he moved action. Shouldn't we have the same concern and compassion for others? You know, you can appeal to God's character. In Numbers 16:22, Moses and Aaron fall on their face before God for the children of Israel because of Korah's band. Remember Korah, Dothan, and the other guy there? I forget their names. And the Lord said, get out of the way. Get away from them because I'm taking them out. And Moses and Aaron fell down on their face and pleaded for the rest of the people because they didn't know. Get away from the tabernacle, the tent of Korah, because he's going down. And Moses and Aaron fell on their face before God, and they appealed to God's character, which never changes. That never changes. I call it rightness. Appeal to God's rightness. He's always right. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Just appeal to Him. And that's what Abraham did. It's interesting that Abraham prays for the righteous in Sodom, and it doesn't even mention Lot. He just prays for the righteous. Now he prays and gets it down to 10 because there was 8 family members and two husbands, right? Two of the daughters. Son-in-laws, yeah. So he gets it down to 10, at least the family that he knew there, but he never mentions Lot. You know why? God's no respecter of persons. And neither should we. We shouldn't be a respecter of persons. We need to pray for anybody that God puts on our heart. Everybody's just as important to God as anybody else. God wants to spare them. No selective prayers. The judge will always do right. You can count on it. God's never done wrong. God's never failed. And He's never let anybody down. Just pray to God's rightness. And He'll do what's right. And Abraham acknowledges that. We need to trust the Lord. Verse 26 and 32, Abraham goes through this countdown. But it's done with desire and a humility in his heart. Because in verse 27, he says, which am I but dust and ashes? He knew who he was. He knew what he was. And he knew who he was talking to. And he was very humble. But it was done with desire as he talked to God. Maybe they're 50, but hopefully there'll be 10. There'll be at least 10. Sadly, there was not even 10. There wasn't even 10 righteous. But he pleaded with God. And I just want to remind you that God is not wearied by our constant coming. God never gets tired of you coming to Him and asking Him, I wanted to see my brother. The moment I got saved, I wanted to see my brother get saved. So that's been almost 24 years now. He's not saved. And I've told him up this way and down that way and every which way you can tell him the gospel. He's just not getting saved yet. But God's not weary of me calling out on my brother's behalf. He's not tired of hearing that. And I got to just remember to just keep going to Him and show Him how dependent I am on God to save my brother. He's not going to get saved unless I just keep pleading for him to get saved. God wants to. God wants to save him. He wants to save your brother too. And then Abraham leaves off his intercession, and maybe he thought the cities would have been spared, preserved, but the unjust punished. I don't know. But there's a time to just wait on God, and that's what he did now. Now he just waited on God. So, what happened? Well, Genesis 19 shows us there were before righteous. Four righteous people came out. Four people that at one time, I guess, had faith in God. Got saved. Four righteous make it out of Sodom. It's an absolute tragedy is what it is. I don't know how many people were in those cities, but they cindered. Whew. They were done. Crispy critters, gone. But it was totally avoidable if they would just repent. Thankfully, the Lord's merciful. Only four souls make it out of Sodom. But the damage is done to Lot's family a long time ago. Lot ruined his family. We should not make that same mistake. To constantly make these bad choices. I'm not going to preach anybody else's message. There's so much that we're going to hear and try to learn from. But he just made so many bad decisions. These four righteous people living in a pig pen of sin. It just seemed like they weren't even affected by it. I mean, outwardly. It was just, they felt at home there. Four other children were left behind. And the daughters were affected day after day after day. The damage was done, and we know the wickedness that took place later on with Lot and his two daughters. Wicked. Lot's wife, she looked back. She couldn't get over that her home was back there in that sinful place, and four children were back there. She had to look back. I put it this way. She was out of Sodom, but Sodom wasn't out of her. She was out. The city was over there burning. She was out. And she was told, don't look back. You don't think the flesh is strong? She was out of the city. Her soul was delivered. And she looked back. That's how strong the flesh is. You don't think you have a battle every day? The flesh said, go back. The Bible says, lose your life to save it. She wanted to save her life and she lost it. She's a pillar of salt. What cost are you willing to pay? Why won't you intercede before it's too late? You know, there's the intercession, and I think that's another filling, the intercession of others in the Bible, Moses. Moses interceded for Israel on numerous occasions. And you know, here's a whole band of people that Moses was in charge of, and he constantly had to intercede for these rebels all the time. Does that kind of remind you, pastors, of interceding all the time on behalf of people in the church and those that are away from God all the time? He interceded for a nation. Job interceded for his family. Let me just read it to you. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. You say, wow, that's not a very good example. Job prayed for his children and they're all dead. Job would have never came out the other side if he wasn't in the habit of interceding for his children. That was the kind of man Job was. Do you see what intercession does for you? It will strengthen you. It'll make you a better Christian. As it said in 1 Timothy 2:2, it'll make you godly and honest before God. I'm telling you, we got to learn to intercede. It's going to be a great help to us. Job came out the other side of this with twice as much as he had and all of his children. God took care of him, didn't he? And Job not once cursed God, but blessed him. Said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Why? Because he was an intercessor. Paul, for his people. You know Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. It's my heart's desire. So you have to have a desire. Intercessory prayer comes from a heart that desires to see something changed in someone else. He prayed for his country. He prayed for his countrymen. We need to pray for Ireland. Amen. We need to pray for the people of Ireland to be saved. We do this every year. We talk about revival. Maybe it'll start this year in one person's heart and then another one, and it catches fire. And pretty soon, all of a sudden, we revive. And we go out into Ireland. We start winning souls. We start preaching the gospel, living like we should, and interceding on their behalf because we've been revived. That's what intercessory prayer can do. And the Holy Spirit, I would turn to this one, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit is God praying for us. God praying for us on our behalf. When we're weak and we don't know what to do, we don't know what to say, and it's just chatter coming out of our mouth, God prays for us. Amen. And He takes all that all that jumble mumble words of ours and he offers it perfectly before a holy God. Because he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of God. God praying to God on our behalf. That's intercession. That's awesome. The Spirit does that for us. He takes our feeble attempts and he makes them into powerful prayers. And then Jesus. Jesus prayed and he interceded for the entire world on the cross. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. If you're not saved here today, there's only one mediator between you and God. That's Jesus Christ. It's not Mary. It's not baptism. It's not good works. It's not standing in the church. It does not make you a Christian. Only Jesus Christ can make you a Christian. You must come to God by Him. There's only one way to God, and it's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isaiah 53:12 says, "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He became sin on the cross for us. That's intercession. See the cost? Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." You can read the other ones. Jesus Christ placed himself between God's wrath and our sin. And if you're not saved here today, the wrath of God abideth on you. But Jesus died for those sins. And all you have to do is repent and turn to Jesus Christ. You can be saved. You can be saved. Just sitting at this men's camp does not make you saved. You're either saved or you're lost. And if you're not saved, you can be. There would be no reason to leave this men's camp without talking to somebody about how to be saved. Romans 8:33-34. Let me just read verse 34. "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." So Christ confounds that accuser of the brethren constantly before the throne. He confounds all that, and then he saves the lost. That's an intercessor. What can we learn about intercessory prayer from all this? We may have some loved ones away from God, like Abraham did, and we need to intercede for them. Can I say this? Some of you are grown up, may have children that are grown up. We need to be very careful that we don't always beat ourselves up about every decision a person makes now that they're on their own and they have their own will and they have their own families or they're living on their own. Be careful. You don't have to beat yourself up all the time, but you should be interceding on their behalf. They do have their own will. Yeah, we can say, you know, we didn't do this right, we didn't do that right, and hey, ask God for forgiveness and start doing things right. But you don't have to beat yourself up all the time because someone's made a bad decision. Pray for them and try to help them get back on the right path. You just don't have to keep beating yourself up all the time. People make their own mistakes. I don't know what that meant or who it meant to. Maybe just me. But we like Abraham to show our love and care for our families by earnest and effectual, fervent, intercessory prayer. Don't pray out of guilt, I guess is what I'm saying. Don't pray out of guilt all the time. Get rid of the guilt. Get right with God and then intercede for your loved ones. Abraham showed his ongoing relationship with God as he drew near to the Lord. Abraham built altars. Lot, nothing. When it was time to choose which way to go, Lot lifted up his eyes and looked. I bet you Abraham looked down and said, "God, what do I do?" Lot wasn't a spiritual man. He was the oxymoron, the carnal Christian. And it's not about how close you are to your loved ones physically that makes the greatest difference either. It's your closeness to God that makes the difference. Many of us may be hundreds of miles or even thousands of miles away from our loved ones. Hey, you can launch some pretty powerful prayers on behalf of those people right there. Boom. Boom. Lift them up before the Lord. And you could be a block away from them and never pray for them at all. It's about your time with God that's going to make the difference. Not how close you are to Him.
Sometimes we just feel inadequate. But when God showed Abraham that he had to judge Sodom for sin, Abraham did the most important work that he could do. He prayed. So that's all you can do. And you know what? That's a good place to be in. Look, I have a trophy of grace back there in Naples, Florida, my son. He's a trophy of grace to me right now. Just pray for him and pray for him and pray for him. Went through a lot of rough years, and I said, I'm so glad you didn't compromise. I'm glad you prayed for me. I'm glad you kept telling me the right thing to do. Sometimes you get it right. And you intercede. And you just intercede and you just cry out for your son or your daughter or your brother or whatever. And you find out they come out on the other side and you say, man, this works. This works. Why don't I do it more often? Lay the matter out before the Lord. God burdens people about people. Who else is going to pray for your lost loved ones? They're not going to pray for themselves. God knew He had to tell Abraham what He was about to do because He knew that Abraham would intercede and stand in the gap for Lot and even for Sodom. He knew it. He says, I know Him. God knew that He could trust Abraham to obey Him. We have to ask ourselves, do we really care? Are we really burdened enough to pray? We must trust God ourselves in order to pray for the will of God to be done in others' lives. So we just need to trust God. Prayers of faith. Here, one more verse. Genesis 18. This is our last verse here. I'm going to wind this up now. Genesis chapter 18. And in verse 29. And that's not it. Where does he say, and he remembered? It's 19:29. Genesis 19, verse 29. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. Amen. And sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. He remembered. God doesn't forget the time that you spend in tearful, burdened prayer for your loved ones. Nobody else has to know. Nobody else knows the time that you're in that closet praying, but God does. Now, who does it really matter? It matters what God thinks. It matters what God can do. So, to intercede means to get between a sinner and God, trying to reconcile two parties, it should be TWO, to break up the fight, amen, and bring them back into favor with each other. Sometimes you just have to be a referee and break up the fight, because they're on the losing end. God's never lost a fight. Beg God on behalf of someone's soul. Plead for a wayward or helpless loved one, just like Abraham. Think about that one God's placed on your heart, maybe while we've been talking here, and start interceding for them. Start praying for them. I mean, who else is going to do it? We can intercede right now for some loved ones, a child, friends, parents, a brother, a sister, situations, sickness, salvation, away from God, to restore a marriage, family, jobs, and then give God thanks. We're in no hurry. Pastor's going to close this, but we're in no hurry. We might want to take some time and just pray for some lost loved ones. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for what You're going to do. I'm thanking You for what You're going to do. I know some of us are going to go ahead and get a hold of this thing called intercessory prayer. We're going to start praying, and we're going to start believing God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would answer our prayers according to Your will. Help us to pray Bible prayers for our lost loved ones, Father. Help us not to give up either, because You don't. Break our hearts. Give us hearts that are not stony, but soft again towards the people that need us to pray for them, Lord. And we'll thank You for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.